Achieving senior executive status in the federal government can be a two-edged blade. The pay is better and you get a lot of authority, but too often it means getting stuck in one place for too long. That can make you stale and deprive other agencies of your expertise. The Partnership for Public Service, in conjunction with McKinsey & Company, has been taking a deep look at mobility in the senior executive service. Joining me with some of the findings, Mallory Barg-Bowman, Director of Research at the Partnership. Mallory, great to have you back.
Thanks very much, Tom.
All right, so this is a study that has been around for a while that's in the process of being updated, correct?
Correct, yeah. We're working with McKinsey & Company to update the findings and provide some updated data to agencies.
Has anything changed since the last time around? I guess give us a picture of mobility or lack thereof in the senior executive service.
Sure. So this is an issue that's actually been around since the SES was created in 1978. So we're going to see some new data, but some of the issues are going to stay the same. Back in 2012, we had reported about the importance of increasing mobility in the senior executive service. And we were really encouraged this week when OPM released some guidance on implementing the executive order that came out of the White House in mid-December. And this specifically relates to increasing mobility. So now agencies that have more than 20 senior executives are going to be required to create rotational opportunities for those folks that are more than 120 days in nature. And they're aiming for a government-wide average of about 15% of all SESers doing some type of rotation. And this is really exciting and a really important progression.
Because we've seen cases where people achieve executive status, senior executive status, say in a given agency, I'm thinking, well, of Veterans Affairs, for example. Mm-hmm. And a few of them have gotten into trouble and for whatever reason, but a theme seems to be maybe they take a lot for granted having been there so long, they can get away with anything. So maybe this idea of rotation might keep people fresh and keep them out of trouble also.
Sure,
has that come up?
Absolutely. We found, you know, when you look at the VA or you look really at almost any federal outcome, federal leaders need to be able to manage across agencies. There's almost no outcome in the federal government that does not require the work of more than one agency or even more than one sector. So it's really important that individuals who are in these leadership positions are able to collaborate across agencies and across different sectors. And we've found that mobility really helps build that individual's network and also increases those soft skills, those ability to collaborate, those ability to work across agency lines. You know, we talked with one person with our last report who had been within an agency for many years and then moved to an advisory group within the Executive Office of the President on a rotation. And just that simple opportunity both expanded this person's network as well as provided an enterprise-wide view of the way the government operates. And these rotational opportunities are really tremendous for increasing cross-agency collaboration, which, you know, as we know, is just really important for some of these critical national outcomes, the pandemic, flu, food safety, law enforcement, as well as when emergencies arise, when with Katrina and Rita, with September 11th. These were both incidents that really required that ability of leaders to collaborate.
That means then that someone who is good at, say, managing a crisis in the financial realm of the world, where there's several federal agencies, could conceivably do a good job managing a crisis in the public health area with the scientific overtones, given that the people below them in the agency can take care of the science if they can take care of the management.
Right. And, you know, when OPM and OMB are establishing this government-wide percentage, they're saying 15% of SESers would be rotating. There's still a space for technical expertise within an agency, and you're absolutely right, Tom. It doesn't have to be that leader who has that technical expertise. It can be that person who's able to leverage the skills of the workforce and really empower the workforce to act on these different issues.
Mallory, what is the basis of people not moving around enough? Is it because the senior executives themselves don't initiate job changes or because they get turned down a lot maybe by agencies when they try to be mobile?
Sometimes it's been hard to find the opportunities, and the other advantage of both the executive order as well as the guidance that's coming out from OPM is there's really a move to creating some transparency around these opportunities. Frequently right now, it's word of mouth or, you know, one-off type of opportunities, and with the perspective right now of this becoming an enterprise-wide opportunity, there's efforts underway to really build this capability across government for transparency about rotational opportunities within agencies, within the nonprofit sector, within state and local governments, and really starting to view the SES Corps the way it was intended back in 1978 of this government-wide asset and really this mobile leadership corps.
We're speaking with Mallory Barg-Bowman, Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service. And getting back to that idea of people that are scientific or technical experts, engineering types and some medical types, don't they already have job classifications that can give them prestige and pay and so forth while retaining their jobs as professionals?
Exactly. And we have long advocated for the importance of having senior technical experts and making that distinct from senior leaders who are responsible for management and responsible for, you know, engaging the workforce at a management level, and what the importance is between the senior technical experts as well as the senior executive positions is really retaining that ability to become a senior technical expert and have that being distinct from somebody who's expected to manage a large group of people.
I wonder if there's a hybrid somewhere in between there, someone that might be really good at running a lab, running a group of scientists because they can speak the scientist's language. Could they move among disciplines, but still retain that direct hands-on management of something technical or scientific?
Absolutely. And one thing that we've been working to do within our Best Places to Work analyses is building mission categories and really looking at agencies that are like one another. So perhaps an executive at the FBI, for example, would have something to learn by rotating over to DOJ, or another law enforcement agency would have an opportunity to learn from other like agencies. We really know that this rotational opportunity can provide very meaningful learning opportunities for individuals. And we know that the training matters. OPM recently cited that on-the-job experiences, such as these rotations, contribute to up to 70% of an executive's learning. And so this is a really important contributor. With our best places analysis, we always look at the drivers of satisfaction and commitment in the workforce. It's always, you know, leadership is number one, which certainly comprises part, you know, in part the SES, skills mission match. And the third one, interestingly enough, when you look at senior executives, and particularly those who are newer to government, less than 10 years, training actually replaces pay as the third driver of satisfaction and commitment. So having these opportunities is really an incentive for folks to move into these positions as well as a way to keep them engaged and satisfied.
So people that tend to move up and through ranks tend to want to be people that have lifelong learning.
That's exactly right.
And just give us an idea of the report itself. What status is the new version in, and what do you think some of the key findings might be that differ widely from what you learned a few years ago?
Sure. So we anticipate releasing a report this summer. We're in the process right now of both looking at demographic data of the SES as well as identifying some places where agencies have really, you know, implemented some notable things, and we want to spotlight those because as agencies look to implement the executive order, we really want to make sure that they have some examples of things that are working well. They have some folks within government they can talk with, understand sort of how it looks. What we will also, I suspect, say is it's still not there yet. We are, you know, in the remaining time of the administration, we really need to, you know, keep the momentum going. We want to keep the focus on the SES. This is a really important group. By design, you know, agency leaders, the very top folks, the political appointees, are in their positions for a very short period of time. And right now, as we're going through the political transition, those positions are increasingly becoming vacant. And so what agencies rely on is the cadre of senior career executives, those, you know, more than 7,000 individuals who hold the top career positions within agencies, to make sure that the agency is able to meet its mission. So these folks are extremely important to delivering the missions of our agencies.
Mallory Barg-Bowman is Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, thanks so much for joining me with that update.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Find a link to the report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.